Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, Courageous Kingdom Advancement, and shows you how the Bible consistently reveals God's desire to display his glory and advance his kingdom on earth, using us in the process. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
If you were to study the Bible from Genesis all the way through the end of the book of Revelation, there would be two major themes that you would see all the way through that run in parallel. And the first is this. The glory of God. God wants to be glorified in every single way. And the second is like it. It's the advancement of his kingdom here on the planet so that other people will recognize his glory. All the way back in Genesis at creation, we see how God created the world in six literal days and rested on the seventh to show his incredible glory and show who he is so that the world would know if they ever wondered, how did we get here and how did all this begin and who's in charge of this whole thing anyway, that God would be screaming from creation, it's me, I am. And then from the time of the fall onward, what we see is that God wants to use human beings to help advance his kingdom. That God wants to use us as part of advancing his kingdom here on the earth. We even see it as Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, may your glory be put on display. May everyone know how holy you are and how set apart and different that you are. Then what do we pray? May your kingdom come. May your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. In other words, God, as you're so glorious and as we know that your glory exists, may we help you advance the glory of your kingdom on this planet until you return. So from creation all the way until culmination, what does God want? God wants to put his glory on display. God wants to be worshiped by every single human being. And God created us, as we know, to worship him. And then as worshipers of God, what does he want us to do? He wants us to advance his kingdom. Well, a kingdom needs a king. Jesus Christ is the king. It's his realm. It's his realm of what he wants to get done in the world. And this is what he's talking about in our text today. As we've been studying the book of Exodus, we've been taking a look at what God does in a nation to a group of people when he wants to get his work done. What we read in chapter 1 is God saw the oppression of all the people of Israel in Egypt. So God chose a plan. He raised up a man by the name of Moses. Because you remember at the end of chapter 1, Pharaoh said, no, we're going to kill all the baby boys. And God said, oh, really? I'm going to take a Hebrew boy and I'm going to have you raise him in your palace, and I'm gonna use him to deliver my people. And then we saw, after Moses had grown up as a deliverer in his heart, even from a young age, by about the age of 40, he had this deliverer in his heart. When he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, he looked right and left and said, this can't go on, and he killed the Egyptian and then had to flee to Midian, where he became a shepherd for 40 years. And then God called him. Through a burning bush, God spoke directly to him and said, I got a call on your life, and here's what your call is. It's to go back to Pharaoh, and it's to tell him, let my people go that they may come and worship me. That's the calling on your life. And Moses didn't want to do it, because it's one thing to know that God wants to advance his cause on this planet. It's one thing to know that God wants to advance his kingdom principles. It's another thing when he calls you to be the one that he wants to do it through, because it takes an incredible amount of courage. I've entitled this message, Courageous Kingdom Advancement, because whether we're talking the Old Testament kingdom or whether we're talking the New Testament kingdom through the church, where Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What we see about God's kingdom, it's always on the offensive. It's always moving forward. We never see the kingdom come just by people sitting back passively and hoping God does something. Yes, God is sovereign. Yes, God is the one that does the work, but he always chooses his people for which to do the work with. As a matter of fact, he has to specifically tell us in scripture at different times, and you'll see this in Exodus 14, where he has to say, stand still, let me do the work here. Let me go about doing this. Just be quiet right now. Watch me do my work. Other than that, he's always inviting us in. Even when Jesus rose from the dead and commissioned his disciples after he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, what's he say? Go, You go do it. You let me live my life in and through you. You are my reason and way for advancing the kingdom of God in this generation. So if we want to know what God is up to, we need to look no further than to know that he wants to be glorified and he wants to use you to advance his kingdom so that more people will glorify him. And this is where we get today. As we left off, we saw how going after God and doing what he wants causes challenge. We looked at the opposition last week and five different things that happen when we step out in faith that oppose the work of God. And yet we're still called courageously to advance his kingdom. And today I want to pick up in the book of Exodus in chapter 6, starting in verse 28. We're going to cover a lot of text today, but I'm going to do it a little bit differently. We're going to cover some text and then I'm going to give you the points up front. And then we'll start to uncover what God is saying as the plagues of Egypt arrive. Here's what he says. He says, "Now it came about on the day when the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt that the Lord spoke to Moses saying, 'I am the Lord. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I speak to you.' But Moses said before the Lord, 'Behold, I am unskilled in speech. How then will Pharaoh listen to me?'" Here's what Moses is saying. "I'm a shepherd and I'm not a good speaker. What am I doing speaking to the king?" We think so many times when we hear the text, Moses and Pharaoh, Moses and Pharaoh, Moses and Pharaoh. Who's Moses? He's a Hebrew that had to flee Egypt. He's been a shepherd for 40 years. He's not a great communicator, not a great public speaker by his own admission. And yet who does God choose? He chooses a shepherd to confront the king. Why? Because God is the one who calls and God's the one who does the work. And notice what happens as we get into chapter 7. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses," as he's making all of his excuses, "See, I make you as God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet." In other words, Pharaoh's gonna know who God is because of you. "You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall speak to Pharaoh that he let the sons of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart that I may multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt." God says he's gonna harden Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh's gonna harden his heart too. Do you realize whatever heart you bring to the Lord determines what's gonna happen? If you bring a soft, tender heart before the Lord and a heart of repentance, God will soften it and draw you into himself. If you bring a hardened heart towards the Lord, your heart will only get harder. You know, it's like we say, the same sun that can melt wax can harden clay. What you present in your heart to the Lord will determine what God does with your heart. Today, if you hear his voice, what? "Do not harden your heart." Why? Because if you go before the Lord with a hard heart, what happens? It gets even harder. And God is saying, "I'm gonna harden Pharaoh's heart because he's gonna bring me a hard heart that's only gonna get harder. And I know what's gonna happen. And eventually his heart will get so hard, he'll just drive you out of the land." It says verse 4, "When Pharaoh does not listen to you, then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring out my hosts, my people." That's my army. How does God see his people? How does God see his covenant people? How does God see his church? As an army. You know, so often, and I've said this from this pulpit before, you know, we say, you know, church is not a country club for sinners. It's a hospital for saints. And yeah, it's a place of healing for broken people for sure, but it's neither a hospital nor a country club. What is it? It's an army. It's an army of the living God. God said, "I'm bringing my army out of Israel. I'm bringing my people out of Israel from both the land of Egypt by great judgments." And then he says this, "The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring them out from your midst." So Moses and Aaron did it as the Lord commanded them. Thus they did. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron was 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. He says, when are they gonna know that I'm God? When I deliver them. When people get delivered, then you'll know who God is. When you're completely set free, that's when you know who God is. Because remember the question in chapter 5 that Pharaoh was asking? Moses told him, "The Lord said, Yahweh said, let my people go." And what's his response? "Who is Yahweh? I don't know this Lord. Moreover, why should I listen to him?" In other words, here's what he's saying. Why should I serve your God? I don't know who he is. And so God is saying, I'm gonna reveal myself to him. I'm gonna show him who I am. And when he sees me in all of my glory, he'll let you go. He will deliver you. And notice how old was Moses and how old was Aaron? Moses was how old? 80. Aaron was how old? 83. Hey, y'all, your fulfillment of your calling may not have arrived just yet.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Courageous Kingdom Advancement, showing you how the Bible consistently reveals God's desire to display his glory and advance his kingdom on earth, using us in the process. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first-look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to BravePastorJeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is BravePastorJeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
Fulfillment of your calling may not have arrived just yet. I mean, we live in a culture that says at 65, you should be peeling it back. At 65, you should be dialing it back. Hey, get to a place where you can retire, be financially independent so you can sit around, play golf, watch TV, and do nothing. You will find that not anywhere in the scriptures. You're to live for the Lord and His glory and the advancement of His kingdom until you die. Amen? So keep living. Keep living for Him. So here's the first thing. I'm going to unpack all five of these as we see him get ready to go to Pharaoh, because you need to know when God calls people to be courageous in advancing his kingdom, these are things that are true of all that God calls. And by the way, you may not be called to be a pastor. You may not be called to be a prophet. But if you've repented and trusted in Jesus Christ, he's called you to himself. He's called you to himself, and he's going to give you a responsibility. Now, for all of us that love the Lord and love the authority of God's word, when we hear what God wants to do in the earth, we're all in. I love that. I want to see God loved more. I want to see people loved more. I want to see his agenda more. I want to see all that. But when God starts laying his hand heavy upon us, then go do it. We're like, well, not me. I mean, who am I? What difference can I make? That's why you need to own these five truths as to how God advances his kingdom. And the first is this: courageous kingdom advancement occurs through called courageous warriors. Called courageous warriors. Now let's unpack that just a little bit. What does it mean to be called? It means that you heard the voice of the Lord and you're responding to him. It means when you hear the word of the Lord, you're saying, yes, Lord, before you even hear the word of the Lord. It's when you know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and anything that he authors in this book is authoritative and he wants you to be obedient to it. And you're saying, yeah, I'm called to that. I'm called to everything that this book tells me that I need to do. Now, if you are called and you're going to live that obediently, guess what you're going to need to be? Courageous. Do you know why? Because our world that we live in does not follow the authority of God's word. Let me say it again. That may come as a shock to some of you. The world we live in does not follow and submit to the authority of God's word. No generation ever has. Not since the Garden of Eden has any generation turned to Christ and said, we all want to worship you. Now, there's been moments in the history of the church, and there's been other times in the Old Testament where we see God, through his spirit, breathe out revival in different places. We see it in the Old Testament when Jonah preaches and all of Nineveh comes to know the Lord. We see it in the New Testament. We see it in church history. We see it when Peter preaches his first sermon and 3,000 people get saved. There are times where God does some things. But for the most part, no matter what generation you live in, and if you read Christians of previous generations who are really walking with the Lord, they'll tell you this: my generation that I live in is not walking towards Christ as a whole. They're all heading to an eternal hell. And God's called me to stand in the gap as a called, courageous warrior for Christ. You say, well, why the word warrior? Why not just a servant? Because we're in a battle for the souls of men and women. You'll see when we get to Exodus 15, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. There is a fight and a battle going on for your soul and for the soul of every single person that you will ever come into contact with. And what are we called to be? We're called to be warriors. We're never called anywhere in the Old or New Testament to be passive. I mean, people love to preach sermons on 1 Peter 1:13 saying, gird up the loins of your mind for action. We love to preach sermons on Ephesians 6 about putting on the full armor of God and all these things. Why do we need armor? You don't need armor for your same team. You don't need armor when you're in the battle with people. Who do you need armor for? When you are advancing a cause that people are against, you need to put on the armor of God. Why? Because he called you to be a warrior for his great name. He called you to stand in this generation. And for some of you, you say, where are you getting that from? Everywhere throughout scripture, but let me give you one. 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul says, therefore we are his, what? Ambassadors, as though God is making his appeal through us. We urge you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. What are you? You're his ambassador. You know what an ambassador is? It's not one who just represents a nation. It's one who represents the one in charge of that nation. When ambassadors are sent out from America, they don't just represent the United States, they represent the president. When you are an ambassador, you are not just an ambassador for the kingdom. Who are you an ambassador for? You are an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. That means in your thoughts, words, actions, deeds, church attendance, advancement, everything you do, you are an ambassador for Christ. Meaning when you wake up in the morning, you may not even have a title. You may have a title student, you may have a title mom, you may have a title dad, you may have a title employee, you may have a title employer. You may have any number of titles. Your number one title is this: I'm an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere I go. I'm representing him courageously because there's a fight going on for the soul of every single person that I come into contact with. That's why you see in Colossians 1, 13 and 14, where God rescued you from what? The kingdom of darkness and transferred you into the kingdom of his beloved son, in whom there's redemption and forgiveness of sin. There's two different kingdoms. There's a clash of kingdoms. Ever since Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, there's this clash of kingdoms going on. There's God's kingdom. There's Christ's kingdom that's going one direction, and there's the world kingdom that's going the exact opposite direction. And if you don't realize that you're already in a battle, you've lost. Church, let me just tell you something. We all need to wake up, because we're in a battle that we're losing because we don't even realize there's a war going on. And nowhere does God call us as a church to sit idly, passively by and just pray and hope that God makes a difference. God's called you to pray, seek his face, worship, and then get out there and make a difference with your mouth and with your deeds. Amen? He's calling courageous kingdom warriors. You are called by God to live that way. And who does he call? Whoever he wants. If you've repented of your faith and trusted in Jesus, then he's called you. D.L. Moody once quipped that for the first 40 years of Moses' life, he grew up in the palace thinking he was somebody. And for the next 40 years in Midian, he learned that he was a nobody. And then the final 40 years of his life, when he turned 80, he learned how God can use somebody who thinks they're a nobody. Right? Who, me? Yeah, you. Why? Because you trusted Jesus and you're part of the family of God and you're an ambassador for Christ in this generation to see God be glorified and to see the kingdom expand. Here's the question. What is God the Lord of? Is he just the Lord of the church? Are we only supposed to talk about God in church? Or is he really the Lord of the universe? And so we're to proclaim and live his values every single place that we go. He's the Lord of the universe. We're called to live this out. What'd he call you to be? He called you to be a courageous warrior for his name's sake. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. God has more of an agenda for your life than just to get you to heaven. God wants to use you as his ambassador until you breathe your last breath on this side of heaven. That's why there's so many scriptures that talk about what difference does it matter what happens to you? I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What do I care what people do to me? What do I care if I go to jail? What do I care if I get killed? What do I care if I lose my bank account? What do I care? I'm already in Christ. I'm his ambassador in this generation for his name's sake. What's more important than that? That's what God's looking for. That's how the kingdom gets advanced. You study the Bible, you study church history, you study any time where you see a move of God, you will see courageous called warriors for his name. Amen? And I think we've dumbed down the church too much. I believe the gospel is simple. I believe the gospel is clear, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Simple, clear, not jumping through hoops, not being a good person. If you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead, and you will repent and turn to Christ, you can have all of his life right now. But we'll talk about repentance in a bit. Repentance doesn't mean, yeah, that sounds good. Where do I sign the card? Are you sure I'm in? Repentance means I'm forsaking all other gods and everything else because I want Jesus and him only, even if I get nothing else. That's repentance and faith. That's what it looks like. And that's what God's calling us to be called courageous warriors, not to walk around as a church saying, am I really saved? Am I not saved? Am I really saved? Am I not saved? Am I really saved? Am I not saved? We can talk about that, but if you really are saved, then get to work. Serve the Lord, right? Second is this. Courageous kingdom advancement occurs through compassion for the oppressed. Compassion for the oppressed. Do you remember when Jesus got out of the boat when he told his disciples, let's go to the other side, and the disciples were all excited just to spend time with him, and they were going to finally get alone with Jesus, and what happens? Massive crowds. And Jesus didn't send the crowds away. What did he say? The scripture said that he had compassion on the people because they were like sheep without a shepherd. What's compassion? Compassion is when I see a real need and I do something to take action. That's compassion. Jesus had compassion for those people. Why? Because these were the very people he created. These were his very nation of people that were straight on their way to hell because they didn't have a relationship with him, and it burdened him. Do you have compassion for those who are being oppressed? I mean, when God calls you to a certain area of his kingdom, he'll give you compassion for that group of people. He'll give you compassion and show you they need help. They need encouragement. They need to be built up. We're called to that. As a church, I think we know that. And here's why. Let you know another little key insight. This world's a broken place because of sin. If there is no Jesus in this world, there is no hope. There's none. I mean, we could sit here all day and talk about the different types of brokenness and still not exhaust all the kinds of brokenness. Because some of you have experienced all this. Divorce, death, loss of income, loss of a job, pain, hurt, brokenness in relationship, brokenness in the world. If you keep breathing, you're going to experience brokenness. And you know what the cure is? It's Jesus, and apart from him, there is no help. And even with Jesus, you're still going to experience brokenness in this world. And what do we need to be as a church, as God's people? We need to have compassion for those that are being oppressed, compassion for those who are being put down. What does Moses have in his heart? He's got compassion for the people of Israel being slaves. They're enslaved. For 400 years, his people have been enslaved. Moses grows a greater burden for that as he spends more time with the Lord and wants to see the people freed and wants to see them delivered. The longer you serve the Lord in whatever service or ministry he has for you, the more you'll want to see the people you're pouring into be set free and truly know the Lord and truly love the Lord and truly believe in the Lord and truly would be able to say, even if all else falls apart, as long as I have the Lord, I know I'm good. You want to see that in others. And that's what God wants us to be. We want to be a church that has compassion for the lost. We want to be a church that has compassion for those who've experienced incredible amounts of pain. We want to say, hey, I get it. It's a broken world. Somebody acted upon you in a way that they shouldn't have, and I get it. I'm sorry. Or how about this? I know you made a really stupid choice. I've made a lot of stupid choices too, and pain has come your way, and I'm here for you. I'm not blaming you. I've done a lot of dumb too. That's compassion, right? We need to have compassion for the oppressed. That's where we see brokenness that's awful, where there's no relief. And guess what? We get to play a conduit of being relief to people that are going through that very thing. And as a church, I think that's part of the reason that we exist, to help people through their brokenness on this side of heaven until we're completely put back together. Because friends, I'm telling you, there's a day coming where everything's gonna be made right. And Jesus is gonna wipe every tear from your eye. And there will be no more mourning, and there will be no more weeping, and there will be no more anger, and there'll just be bliss and joy in the presence of our glorious Lord and Savior. Amen? God's kingdom advances through called courageous warriors, through compassion for the oppressed. Now, this is the point that I'm going to talk about where some of you are going to be offended, and you may get up and leave or never come back. And my goal is not to offend you. My goal is to present truth. But God advances his kingdom, and it occurs through confronting the oppressor and confronting the oppressors. It's one thing to see people oppressed and comfort and come alongside of them. It's another thing to go after the one that's causing the oppression. It's one thing to say, hey, I'm praying for you. I know you're being bullied at school. I'm really sorry. That's a really awful thing. It's another thing going after the bully and saying, you'll never bully again. Do you understand the difference? Both are loving. Both are godly. Both are Christian. Most of us don't think that confronting the oppressor is a Christian thing. We think we're called to sit passively by, and if God wants to do something, then he'll do it. No, we're called to speak and live the truth for the glory of God.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Courageous Kingdom Advancement, showing you how the Bible consistently reveals God's desire to display his glory and advance his kingdom on earth, using us in the process. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit bravepastorjeff.com. That's bravepastorjeff.com. But before we wrap up, we also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.